Now, as Carly has mentioned, we've been working on life groups. It's my favourite slide. I love those people up there, and you'll find out why in a moment. But my role is to talk about grow, how we grow in life groups. Now, we're not talking about growing numbers. We're not talking about growing in other activities or anything like that. We're talking about us growing. And I have to say that having had a look at Connect and Serve, and I know it's not a competition with Kylie and Sarah, but I think this is the most important one. Right? And it's a bit different to the other two, because Connect and Serve are talking about how we actually go out of ourselves a bit, what we're prepared to do for others. But with Grow, and the more I looked at this, we have to go into ourselves and ask ourselves some questions in order to better be able to connect and serve. So I think this one's got a little bit of a different twist in it. And actually, if you'd seen the many, many pieces of paper I had at home after researching some of this, be very thankful that, you know, I managed to cut it down drastically. And I have warned some of my family they may have to sit me down, which they're quite happy to do, I'm sure you. But we're talking about discipleship. We're talking about how me following Jesus in my life and sharing with other people has an effect. And am I prepared to grow in that relationship? Or have I reached a point where I think I've grown enough? Now, we're not talking physically and all that. Let me reiterate that. But have I got the point where, no, been there, done that, I'm okay? So if, for any of you here or watching online, that thought is going through your mind, now might be a good time, if it's online, go put the kettle on. Or start looking at your phone if you're here, or think about lunch, because if you're not prepared to look at yourself and how you're growing, there's not much I can say. Because it is so important that we are prepared to grow at whatever age and stage of life we are at. Because it's King Jesus we're representing. And he wants us to grow. So there's a number of things we can do. You know, coffee. I heard of someone from a core that I was completely surprised at, who, when she gets tired of listening to what's going on in the meeting, goes out, gets a coffee at the local coffee shop and comes back in time for the end of the sermon. But we're not going to do that. One thing you could do, if you like, is have a look and count the number of people that are up there. You done that? I did that last week. When I came, when I was multitasking, when I was listening to Kylie, taking notes, but I also watched up there. And I counted them. Has anybody done it quickly? There's 25 and a half. See? 25 and a half. She worried me the whole of the rest of the meeting. There's only half of it there. And if you have a look on Facebook or look on your phone, or the people on the phone, she's okay on there. It's only here that she's half. And that started to worry me quite a bit, you know. But then it became a little bit more than just a concern or a bit of a funny worry. Because I realised that there are actually times, and over 40 years in ministry, not only me, but I have seen people come to worship who are really only half-hearted. They're only half there. So what happens? Quite often they're the ones that will walk out and tell you, if you're standing at the door, didn't get anything out of that. wonder why. What happens? What happens? So this key elements of life groups is to grow deeper in our relationship with God and with each other. Now, again, we need to be capable. I was going to say we're all capable, but willing to grow in our relationship with God before we can really grow in our relationship with each other. So that's the problem we face. So what happens? What makes us feel like we're just the half person? What happens there? Well, the other strange part was that while I was sitting there worrying about this lady on the end, I started to remember some of the information I'd looked up in the weeks before to prepare for today. And one of the things I had found was a quote from an English Baptist minister from the beginning of the last century, which was a little bit scary because, again, I could identify and understand what he was actually saying. And it says this: too many Christians live on the right side of Easter, but the wrong side of Pentecost. The right side of pardon, but the wrong side of power. The right side of forgiveness, but the wrong side of fellowship. They are out of Egypt, but have not reached the land of promise and blessing. They are still wandering about in the wilderness of frustration and dissatisfaction. That's a bit scary, isn't it? It's a little bit scary. We believe in the gospel. We believe in what Jesus did for us. But we haven't quite been prepared to go and really take hold of it, really apply it. And it says too many Christians. So as a church, we're looking at individually but in corporately. What happens to us? Is that a reason that we end up like the half lady? Right? Because we get so overwhelmed with the things that happen to us during the week, the things that, situations that arise for us, that we become so depleted in our spirit. Is that what God wants for us? Is that really what God wants for us? We've been given Pentecost, the power of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been forgiven. We've been given fellowship with one another. So what is it that makes us feel quite often like that? Now, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians, as Margaret read before, he's writing to encourage them because he's heard from Epaphras, like many of the young churches that Paul wrote to, they were having some problems. Not a lot, but they'd started off so well. They'd been going very, very well in spreading the news of the gospel, in working together, which many of those early churches did so well, fellowship with one another, encouraging each other, supporting each other. And they were going well, but then some things start to happen round about them in their everyday lives. They lived in an area which was prone to earthquakes. That might have some problems for them. So there were some concerns. They lived amongst a time when there were lots of heresies around, and they were hearing from people they lived with, worked with, whatever, possibly members of their family, look, this Jesus thing, it's very good. Yes, Jesus is a really good teacher, but he's one of quite a number. We've got this one and this one and this one, and we're into astrology and we're into all that. So, yep, he's right up there. But this divine thing, this, no. So some of them were starting to feel a little bit confused. And the power, the togetherness started to fall away because they weren't as sure. So Paul goes on to remind them in verses 9 to 11, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That's a pretty good list, do you reckon? Would you like that list? Would you like someone to say that for you? Well, it's there. That's for you as well. That's for us. So we have been given a gift. Did you notice those words? You don't have to work for wisdom and understanding. We have been given a gift from the Holy Spirit. We've been strengthened within all power. We're from the Holy Spirit. We've got it. So we're walking around, sometimes like the half lady up there, with all these amazing gifts that we don't use. Why? I think we just forget. We forget whose we are. Not who we are. Not going to get into all of that. But I'm just saying we forget whose we are. Who we belong to. We belong, all hail King Jesus. We forget whose we are. And we forget to use the gifts he has given us because we just get overwhelmed. Got good reasons to be overwhelmed, but then again, we've got really good reasons not to be. As Christians, we share the experience of knowing God, his pardon, his love, his support, his guidance, his strengthening, his peace, so much more. It's a great list. And with it all, an amazing sense of belonging to the kingdom of God. We're not in it on our own. The riches and fellowship possible to feel support from other Christians is a tremendous privilege. To be able to share what God is doing in people's lives greatly enriches our own lives. Ever thought of that? To be able to share with other Christians in what God is doing in their lives enriches our own lives. One of the most precious gifts we've been given, and the list goes on, is each other. Take a look around. Nobody's doing it. Are you doing it at home? Okay. The most important people that God can give us might be sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. Or they might be on a phone that you're texting at the minute. They may be the vehicle that God uses to speak to you. Or you may be the person he needs to speak to them. There is no better way of us learning about God than talking to each other. And in this day of so many means of communications, I've got to say, in my great long life, I've never seen communication so bad with each other. Because we forget to look at each other, and as we see each other, we remind ourselves, here is another child of God. I'm looking at a child of God that God is working through. Several years ago, we were at an appointment with a lot of young families. There were quite a group of us. Our families were all just starting to hit that miraculous young teenage. Exactly. Right, exactly. And I would watch from the platform some Sundays and some mothers and fathers and parents come in, totally hassled. We started a youth group for the young people involved. We thought that might help. And it did. But occasionally of a Sunday as they're walking out, one of the mothers and we would discuss what was going on. But there's never really enough time, is there? It was good that they were prepared, the lady was prepared to be open, but there wasn't enough time. So we thought, okay, when these young people are going to their youth group outing, and we all had to drive them there, didn't we? We'll go out too. Well, we didn't go out. They came to our place for a barbecue. And every time they had an outing, the parents would get together on the other siblings, and we provided for that too. But do you know that was the most amazing thing? Because they would sit and share. And you know what is the greatest thing to hear? When you've been prepared to open yourself to someone and they say, oh, I had that happen too. That's the same as what's happening for me. And to watch these parents start to realise, no, it wasn't a peculiar thing that was happening in their family. They weren't going cuckoo and their child was actually okay and wasn't turning into some strange being. It was part of life. It was a stage of life. And as they began to share with one another, we had a lot of fun. And as the time drew near for the cavalcade of cars to leave to go and pick up all these young people, we would pray at their request. They would pray for each other by name, and they would pray for the children. And that went on for quite a while. It was the most amazing experience for us as parents, sharing life's journey. And some of those friendships have carried on for a long, long time. But we had to first be prepared to reach out to each other and hear what God wanted to say to us through each other. It's one of the most helpful things we can say for one another. Life groups can help us help each other. Has it ever occurred to you that you could be the answer to someone's prayer? And you see, God has this habit of answering our prayers through people we didn't expect. Because quite often when we pray, we've sort of got an answer in mind, haven't we? We've got a situation that we're facing, and we normally, well, I do, give him the answer in my prayer. So, here's what I want. Here's how I want this fixed. And so often, it doesn't work. God has a way of answering our prayers. Long time ago, young officer, family, dreadful circumstances, health-wise, for her children, and things were going on. And I went out to see her. I went out, conduct a meeting, ladies' meeting, I think, talked to her, and coffee afterwards, and she'd had enough. And she really told me what she thought of them. You know, the them that sit in headquarters? They aren't doing this and they aren't doing that. And I need this to happen and I need that to happen. And why haven't they done this? And you know, Anne, sometimes I've got parents coming to me and bringing me food to help me through this and helping out with this and doing that. So I let it go. And I decided not to point out that I was one of them and that I wouldn't tell her that we'd had a meeting before I went and figured out who was the best person to go, who had the most flexible timetable to be able to go and help and give her what she needed. So I said to her, well, look, I'm here today. I can be here on Sunday and do your meetings for you, and I can be here next week. Oh, but no, done. What else do you need? So we sorted that out. And I said, do you realise what you've just told me? All the things you needed, all the things you'd prayed for, you have had supplied. But it didn't come from them, the people she'd thought it should come from. Because God had also worked through the parents of the young people. God had worked through people that we wouldn't even think of calling His people. We get a bit funny like that at times. But they had supplied all her needs. Everything she had wanted had been supplied. But not the way she had expected. And that sometimes happens for us, doesn't it? We put the conditions, if you like, on God. If you look through the scripture, and no, I won't, the 32 pages that I've had to shred and all the rest of it, no, I won't do that to you. But we can think of people. One comes to mind that we spoke about last year, Ananias. When Saul was blinded, God gave him the ability to see through Ananias. And when God went to Ananias, Ananias virtually said, "You're kidding? You want me to go to who?" But Ananias became the vehicle to answer Paul's prayers and ultimately the prayers of the early church. And that's just one of so many examples where God works through people that we don't think of. But if we talk to one another, we start to be able to do that. Do you remember what Jane said last week? She spoke to us about praying to find work. And I checked with her this morning to make sure I'd written it down right and I wasn't preoccupied with the half lady or anything. When she spoke, the people who spoke about the ad for the job here were sitting in the coffee shop over there. They weren't people she was with. They weren't people who knew that she was looking for a job. They were over there. That's the God we say we serve. That's the God who makes us part of his family. That's the God who gives us all these gifts to enable us to live the life he wants us to live. And we look at the gifts and we say, "Thank you very much," and we don't open them, let alone use them. Because he doesn't want to see us as frustrated as we are or as powerless as we sometimes are. And we have to keep going back time after time and time using them. And guess what? They never run out. They never run out. They are always there whenever we go to him. Last Saturday, we heard about the death of one of our generals, our beloved general, John Larson. And it was nostalgic for some of us who'd been around for a while because it was Gowans and Larson's musicals came into being when we were only young, right? And some of those songs were going through my mind as I was sort of reading all the wonderful things that were being said. And one song that came to my mind was one that we used to use a lot when we used to do things called open airs. Remember when you used to do open airs? And you'd go out in the street and have sort of a meeting to talk to people who we felt didn't know God. And we had a message for them. And for a little while after the first musical came out, I think for decades after, this song was always used. And the chorus of it said, "Someone cares. Someone knows your deepest need, your burden shares. Someone cares. God in love will hear the whisper of your prayers." It was always, it became like a favourite. If you had to lead an open air, you always put that one on. But I looked up the words. I thought, I can't really remember the words of the verse. You know how that happens? And this is what I read. "Do you sometimes feel that no one truly knows you and that no one understands or really cares?" That's okay. But then this line, "Through his people, God himself is close beside you. And through them, he plans to answer all your prayers." Now, coming weeks, as Kylie and Sarah have been explaining to us, we're going to be asked about possibility of joining a life group. And for me, that line is a life group. That's what a life group will mean for me. "Through his people, God himself is close beside you. And through them, he plans to answer all those prayers, all those wild prayers we may pray." may be answered by the person sitting next to you. And you look at them and you go, no, that's not going to work. All hail, King Jesus. We have a mighty God. We have a mighty God who wants to give us so many of the gifts that he promised to those people so long ago in Colossae. Same deal. And I want to pray for us all. And the words are going to come up on this prayer, which is based on verses from Colossians. Because we might feel, oh, I don't think I'm brave enough to go and do that. I've been burnt before. Sharing with people takes courage. Yes, it does. So I just want to pray for you right now from Colossians 9 to 11 from the voice. And I've changed a few of those words. I'm going to ask you to multitask and to listen and to read at the same time. And then we'll just finish off with the words of that song. Father, may we clearly know your will and achieve the height and depth of spiritual wisdom and understanding. May our lives be a credit to you, Lord. And what's more, may we continue to delight you by doing every good work and growing in the true knowledge that comes from being close to you and to each other. Strengthen us with your infinite power according to your glorious might so that we will have everything we need to hold on and endure patiently and joyfully. That's what God wants for us.